Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
State Bar dismisses Norris complaint. The State Bar of Texas has dismissed a bar complaint filed against local attorney Gavin Norris, stating the allegations made by Odessan Tim Harry did not, quote, demonstrate professional misconduct. Norris is the civil rights activist who filed a lawsuit against the city of Odessa because Mayor Javier Jovan failed to allow residents to speak out before the council voted 5-2 on December 13th to fire city manager Michael Marrero and city attorney Natasha Brooks. Norris claimed Jovan violated residents' rights and the council voted to fire the pair again during a specially scheduled meeting on January 9th. Around that time, there were several Facebook exchanges between Odessa Development Corporation Chairman Chris Crow, Norris, a person going by the name of Josiah Vargas, and Tim Harry about the lawsuit. On January 4th, Harry wrote the following statement about Norris on Facebook. Quote, he has also left clients in a lurch with no representation in the courtroom after being held in contempt over his temper, end quote. Norris said that wasn't true and sent Harry a, quote, cease and desist letter, end quote. Norris said Harry's comments was based on the following post made by Norris on Facebook. Quote, I argued my client's constitutional rights under the law. I was held in contempt, and the bailiff was ordered to remove me from the courtroom while the hearing took place without me, end quote. In the end, however, Norris filed an emergency appeal, and the judge ruled on his client's behalf. The judge also found, quote, no written order of civil or direct contempt was filed into the record of this court. No penalty or punishment of civil or direct contempt was assessed or filed into the record of this court, end quote. Harry responded to the cease and desist letter by filing a bar complaint against Norris on February 7th. In his complaint, Harry wrote, quote, the attorney in question is representing his interests in a lawsuit against the city of Odessa. I am a private citizen and have called out numerous false claims this attorney has made. As a response, he has posted my address on social media and sent a cease and desist letter. He also threatened litigation over social media as well, end quote. He further wrote Norris is using the legal system, quote, as a threat and intimidation in his quest to silence his political foes, end quote. In addition, Harry alleged Norris once threatened to send him a cease and desist letter for, quote, advising a friend that asked for opinions on a lawyer that he was not a good attorney for their case, end quote. Harry said, quote, threatening legal action on someone who is not a lawyer using an expensive and complicated legal system is unethical, end quote. Reached Thursday, Norris described Harry as a, quote, keyboard warrior, end quote, who likes to bully people online. Quote, if Tim Harry doesn't correct, amend, or reform his lie as requested in the cease and desist, then I intend to file a defamation lawsuit against him. Tim is entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts. He cannot simply lie about me and get away with it, end quote, Norris said. Harry, who has a right to appeal the decision, declined to comment. No holds barred performance set for WT Concert Band. The West Texas A&M University Concert Band will give a performance brimming with vigor in its upcoming winter concert. The performance will begin at 7:30 p.m. Sunday in Mary Moody Northern Recital Hall on WT's Canyon Campus. Admission is free. Concert band members are flute, Amaya Rangel, senior from Odessa, Alex Lamb, junior from Saatchi, Sarah Rogalski, senior from Cypress, Rosie Mendoza, senior from Brenham, Lilia Traylor, junior from Stratford, Isabel Hernandez, junior from Amarillo, Elena Moreno, junior from Amarillo, Diana Larenga, senior from Garland, Naylan Chethahun, sophomore from Amarillo, Jacob Gutierrez, freshman from Farwell, and Hannah Pollard, freshman from Hagerman, New Mexico. Oboe, Jocelyn Morales, senior from Amarillo, and Katie Carlson, sophomore from Midland. Bassoon, Kat Clark, junior from Canyon, Keegan O'Toole, freshman from Canyon, and Emma Morris, senior from Sunray. Clarinet, Grace Lindauer, master's student from Fort Worth, Kayla Cabrera, junior from Bettius, Sydney Fishburne, senior from Spearman, Sean Frausto, junior from Amarillo, Isla Tabor, sophomore from Paris, Faith Powell, sophomore from Amarillo, Jaron Nolan, junior from Stinnett, Robbie Sanchez, junior from Canyon, Allie Sauer, senior from Dumas, Jasmine McKeel, sophomore from Wiley, Haley Seguire, sophomore from Hereford, and Lefevre. bass clarinet, Zoe Stovall, sophomore from Amarillo, Graham McFarland, sophomore from Amarillo, and Keely Burkhalter, sophomore from Hereford. Alto saxophone, Max Gray, senior from Tomball, Josh Carrillo, master student from Canyon, Zeke Roberts, senior from Lubbock, Katie Ashkoff, master student from David City, Nebraska, and Sierra Ochoa, junior from Amarillo. Tenor saxophone, Zach Lim, senior from Amarillo, Katie Burden, freshman from Eureka, Kansas, and Orlando Marino, sophomore from Stanford. Baritone saxophone, Kobe Mount, junior from Kahoma, Noah Renault, senior from Amarillo, and Abby Kuhn, sophomore from Eureka, Kansas. Trumpet, Nasser Reyes, junior from Shallow Water, Connor McClenney, sophomore from Amarillo, Trey Ferguson, freshman from Booker, Jack Sprague, sophomore from Amarillo, Diego Arias, freshman from Amarillo, Christian Bartlett, freshman from Shallow Water, Lucas, and Jerry Lara, master student from Midland. Horn, Noren Hodgson, senior from Odessa, Bailey Rettig, senior from Brenham, Jenna Galinas, senior from Roswell, New Mexico, Guillermo Gallegos, freshman from Alton, Erica Ortiz, senior from Canyon, and Thomas Rodriguez, sophomore from Canyon. Tenor trombone, Braden Hebel, junior from Amarillo, Cyrus Jackson, sophomore from Baytown, Alec Young, junior from Midland, Caleb Cole, junior from Dallas, Nadia Ortega, senior from Amarillo, and Victoria Wilkinson, junior from Amarillo. Bass trombone, Gavin Poole, freshman from Clifton, and DJ Brooks, sophomore from Houston. Euphonium, Noah Portillo, senior from Lubbock, David Uribe, sophomore from Wheeler, Isaiah Nanez, freshman from Dumas, James Selman, sophomore from Amarillo, Connor Hayslip, freshman from Odessa, and Natalie Hernandez, junior from San Angelo. Tuba, Chase Nixon, junior from Mansfield, Cameron McGuire, sophomore from Claude, Nicholas Sparks, freshman from Wheeler, and Paige Kavanaugh, freshman from Anna. Bass, Carson King, sophomore from Thorndale. Percussion, Colton Leadingham, freshman from Odessa, Cooper Delgado, junior from Childress, Peyton Hayes, sophomore from Midland, Haley Hunter, senior from Monahans, Brogan Licht, senior from Littlefield, Peyton Mick, freshman from Dimmitt, Noah Lopez, senior from Lubbock, Charlie Neal, junior from Canyon, John O'Brien, freshman from Anna, and Melinda Thomas, freshman from Amarillo. Piano, Piper Fowler, sophomore from Amarillo. Oil workers deliver clean water to East Palestine, Ohio. Thanks to a massive grassroots effort, more than 20,000 bottles of clean water arrived on February 26th for Ohioans impacted by the Biden administration's bungling of the Norfolk Southern train derailment. A truck delivered the water to Breakpoint Sporting Grounds in Rogers, Ohio, where Oil and Gas Worker Association, OGWA, President Matt Coday, and local OGWA members distributed the bottles to parched residents. Quote, American oil and gas workers know what it is like to be abandoned by the Biden administration. While we produce oil and natural gas in the most environmentally conscious way, Biden's EPA wastes its resources trying to shut down Permian Basin drilling, end quote, Coday remarked. Coday, an oil field driver by trade, drove the load from Texas with the help of a co-driver. Quote, these folks need clean water and they need it weeks ago. Since Biden's administration won't help, oil and gas workers are stepping up to get clean drinking water to our friends and neighbors in Ohio and Pennsylvania, end quote, Coday said. He continued, quote, the EPA should be prepared to assist communities like East Palestine. Instead, the EPA is weaponized against American workers and families. By contrast, oil and gas workers are sending donations of water pallets, logistics equipment, and personnel to support our neighbors in Ohio, end quote. OGWA started collecting water for the East Palestine Area Clean Water from National Oil Workers, EPA Clean Water NOW, initiative less than a week ago. With over $10,000 donated so far, Coday says that the next delivery will arrive next week. Murray talks teacher task force recommendations. After a year-long study, the Teacher Vacancy Task Force released its findings to address the significant teacher shortage across Texas. A lot of what the task force recommended are things Ector County ISD is already doing or considering. Governor Greg Abbott created the Teacher Vacancy Task Force in 2022. One of the task force members was Ashley Osborne, who is Executive Director of Talent for Ector County ISD, but now works for Midland ISD. Quote, we were very fortunate to have a seat at that table and also a leadership role to help with the creation of some of those solutions, end quote. Superintendent Scott Murray said during his media call Wednesday. Murray added that the task force talked about the need to increase teacher compensation. Quote, today, ECISD is the highest paying district in our region. So we're addressing compensation of our teachers. The task force mentioned that we must invest in multiple pipelines. We must be able to recruit and attract our teacher candidates from a variety of areas. Looking at high school students, providing dollars for high school students as they enter college and choose to become education majors. Looking at individuals that are career changers that are in other industries, creating pipelines for those individuals. Investment in teacher pipelines was also one of their recommendations, end quote, Murray said. ECISD has a variety of talent pipelines, such as high school students that are in career and technical education courses that plan to become teachers. The district also provides college scholarship opportunities for paraprofessionals who want to become teachers. ECISD operates its own educator preparation program, so people that already have a bachelor's degree and are interested in education can obtain certification and licenses. Quote, that recommendation from the task force, again, really complements some of the work that is happening in ECISD. Then the task force also talked about developing and cultivating existing teachers, ensuring that our teachers are among the very best, not only in the state, but in the nation, end quote, Murray said. The task force talks about investing in teachers to become national board certified teachers. Currently, ECISD has 130 teachers pursuing national board certification across the state. Quote, we're very appreciative of the work that was conducted by the Teacher Vacancy Task Force. Now their recommendations are being considered by our state legislature for potential funding opportunities, end quote, Murray said. Quote, certainly districts across the state will pay attention to those recommendations and then make adjustments locally to ensure that we are recruiting, attracting, and retaining the most effective educators to serve students in the state of Texas and in Ector County Independent School District, end quote, he added. Murray also congratulated Odessa High School on its AVID Showcase held February 28th. Quote, Odessa High School received visitors from not only around the state of Texas, but also our friends and neighbors in New Mexico came to visit, learning about the AVID program at Odessa High School. We actually operate AVID at each of our middle schools and high schools throughout Ector County, end quote, Murray said. Quote, AVID is a program that helps our high school students navigate their high school experiences so that they are post-secondary ready. It equips them with the skills, with the tools, with the knowledge and wisdom necessary to be effective in a post-secondary world, end quote, he added. Bill to extend federal court proceedings in West Texas passes Senate. Washington. U.S. Senators John Cornyn, Republican Texas, and Ted Cruz, Republican Texas, released the following statements after their Improving Access to Our Courts Act, which would allow federal court proceedings to be conducted at the U.S. District Court in Alpine, that is one of the seven Western District of Texas courts and serves nine Texas counties, passed the Senate. Quote, the American system of checks and balances relies on the strength of our three branches of government, end quote, Cornyn said in the press release. Quote, I'm grateful to my Senate colleagues for supporting this legislation to bolster the mission of our judicial branch and allow more local cases to be processed in West Texas federal courtrooms. And I urge the House to pass it without delay. End quote. Quote, I am proud to have worked with my Texan colleagues to increase accessibility to our federal courts for victims, parties, counsel, and the general public, end quote, Cruz said in the press release. Quote, through this needed addition, the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas is now able to provide more efficient service to the people of West Texas, allowing them to seek redress without needing to drive for several hours to the nearest federal courthouse, end quote. Senators Patty Murray, Democrat Washington, and Maria Cantwell, Democrat Washington, are co-sponsors of the bill. U.S. House of Representatives Tony Gonzalez, Texas 23, Rick Larson, Washington 02, and Suzanne Delbain, Washington 01, have filed a companion bill in the House. Midland Vets Center honors Vietnam veterans' surviving spouses. The Midland Vets Center is hosting a Vietnam War commemoration ceremony at 10 a.m. March 29th at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, 9900 Wright Drive, Midland. During the event, Vietnam War veterans and surviving spouses will be recognized with a pinning ceremony. If you served between November 1, 1955 and May 15, 1975, in country, in theater, or were stationed elsewhere during this time period, all were located to serve, All were called to serve, none could self-determine where they would be stationed, and all were seen in the same way by a country that could not separate the war from the warrior. RSVP by March 25th to 432-697-8222 or leanne.thornton@va.gov to ensure an adequate number of pins are available. The 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War commemoration period, initiated in 2015 and ending in 2025, directly corresponds to each year between 1965 and 1975. The inclusive dates U.S. combat troops were deployed to Vietnam. By presidential proclamation, the USA Vietnam War commemoration will continue through Veterans Day, November 11, 2025. Quote, as authorized by Congress and on behalf of the nation, we are doing what we should have done 50 years ago, thanking and honoring our Vietnam veterans and their families for their service and sacrifice, just as America did for the veterans of World War II in Korea, end quote. Veterans Outreach Specialist Leanne Thornton, Midland Vet Center, said in a news release. According to the Department of Veterans Affairs, 9 million Americans served during the Vietnam War period, and more than 6 million are living today. Quote, like veterans returning from today's battlefields, those who served in Vietnam came home with both physical and unseen injuries of war, end quote, said Thornton. Quote, sadly, many of the unseen injuries suffered by our Vietnam veterans went undiagnosed and weren't understood by our medical community or citizenry as they are now. We want Vietnam veterans to know that we are here for them, end quote. TPWD seeks input on bird regulation proposals. Austin. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's 2023-24 proposed migratory game bird regulations mirror last year's season lengths, timing, and daily bag limits, the press release stated. No changes were required due to federal regulatory modifications for season length or daily bag limits. In addition, staff are not proposing any substantive changes to any migratory game bird hunting season. TPWD is taking public comment on the proposed changes to the 2023-24 Migratory Game Bird Proclamation, with input to be considered before any action by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission at its March 23rd public hearing. Opportunities to provide comments for or against these proposals include online at TPWD public comment page until March 22nd, phone or email. Comments on the proposed changes may be submitted to Small Game Program Director Sean Oldenberger at 512-389-4778. Email shaun.oldenberger@tpwd.texas.gov. In person, the TPW Commission will take public comment on the proposed changes at their meeting on Thursday, March 23rd in Austin. Public testimony will normally be limited to 3 minutes per person. MCH to host pop-up job fair. Medical Center Health System will be hosting a pop-up job fair from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday in the Nursing Education Classroom, 520 North Washington Street, north side of building. In-person interviews will be conducted by MCHS staff with the potential of hiring on site. Applicants should bring their resumes. There are openings for several positions, including RNs, LVNs, certified nursing assistants, patient care assistants, surgical techs, anesthesia techs, phlebotomists, radiology techs. In addition to on-site interviews for applicants, there will be food and beverages, giveaways, and several prizes, including TVs, AirPods, tablets, and gift cards. The pop-up job fair is free and open to the public. You Get It All, country singer Carl to perform at Ector Theater. Tales from other people's lives about everything from spiritual relationships to romantic ones are just some of the many things featured in country singer-songwriter Hayes Carl's most recent album, You Get It All. Carl has spent over 20 years having a conversation about what it is everyone is doing on this planet with anyone who will listen. He'll get a chance to share that with Odessans next week when he stops by on his upcoming tour at 7 p.m. March 9th at the Ector Theater. Quote, I'm at a point in my life where I'm trying to figure out some of those things and take stock of where I am and where I'm headed, end quote, Carl said. Quote, that was the inspiration of where that album came from and trying to grow and evolve and not stay where I was as an artist or as a person. It feels like it'd be a waste of time and gifts that I've been given. With that record, I think there was a lot of taking stock of what's worked and what hasn't in life and telling those stories, end quote. You Get It All was released back in October 2021. It is his eighth album. His upcoming tour will begin next week with a show at the Paramount Theater in Abilene. Odessa will be just the second stop in the 28-show tour that will go until July. Quote, "I'm looking forward to it," end quote, Carl said. Quote, "I've been playing music and touring around for 20-plus years, but I think this is only my second time touring around Odessa, so I'm excited to get out there and bring the band and perform. I think it'll be a great night," end quote. Carl hails from the Woodlands. After releasing his debut album, Flowers and Liquor, in 2002, he was voted Best New Act by the Houston Press. Since then, he's been compared to other Texas songwriters, including Townes Van Zandt. You Get It All was produced by his wife Allison Moorer and guitar legend Kenny Greenberg. Carl credits Moorer with helping him find the words needed for his songs in his recent album. Quote, "She's a very accomplished artist in her own right," end quote, Carl said. Quote, "She's made 10 records and written 2 books and done countless creative projects. She's been a co-producer on the last 2 of my records. She's just someone that I really admire creatively, and she's also my first listener. We have a shorthand when it comes to talking about music and what I want it to sound like and what I want to get across in my lyrics. It's just nice for me to have someone that I can trust and respect in the studio helping me guide the process," end quote. As a child, Carl always loved listening to country music. For him, it was his escape, saying that it helped form his identity. Quote, "Like most kids, you find some level of identity by the things you listen to," end quote, Carl said. Quote, "Discovering certain songwriters just made me feel seen, and that ability for Willie Nelson to articulate what I felt but didn't have the words for was really powerful. It seemed like the coolest job there was. I got my first guitar at 15. I knew I loved it. I didn't know I would do this for a living until I was around 27 or 28. I knew I wanted to try, and I got a high off it like nothing else. I just thought if I could be around that in some way, it would be worth taking a shot," end quote. It's paid off since then. In 2016, Carl was nominated for a Grammy Award in the category of Best Country Song for Chances Are. In 2019, he released his 6th album, What Is, on Dual Tone Records. He re-recorded many of his songs, including duets with Ray Wiley, Hubbard, and Moorer for 2020's Alone Together sessions. When talking about his songwriting process, Carl says it's different at times. Quote, "When I started out, I wrote everything by myself on a notepad with my pen," end quote, Carl said. Quote, "As time has gone on, I've tried different things," end quote. He's done a lot of co-writing and even took lessons from Monahan's legend, the late Guy Clark. Quote, "I found that there was a lot to be gained by learning from other people," end quote, Carl said. Quote, "I've done records where I've been in the studios and we recorded the music first and then wrote to that. I've done records where I wrote the songs first and then got a band together and experimented to see what it would sound like. I've tried all different things in my life," end quote. When it came time to writing his last record with Moorer, he said it was about getting as deep and emotional as he could. Quote, "I'm trying to go deeper as a writer," end quote, Carl said. Quote, "I used to write through a stream of conscious, and if it rhymed and sounded halfway cool, I was good with it," end quote. However, as he's gotten older, he's taken the writing more seriously. Quote, "I try not to be complacent and try not to be okay with just being okay," end quote, Carl said. He said he owes a lot to Clark. Quote, "Guy Clark was not far from Odessa, and early on, I was able to write with him, and I had some that I thought were dumb, but he came by with some suggestions and some changes, and they were all minor," end quote, Carl said. Quote, "I didn't appreciate at the time how important small details matter. I think about Guy and how he wrote those small details now matter to me," end quote. Tickets for next week's show can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/YA42YHH7. Hairspray to take stage at WNPAC. Midland. Broadway in the Basin returns with its third show for the 2023 season with Hairspray. The show takes place at 7:30 p.m. March 6th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Broadway's Tony Award-winning musical comedy, Phenomenon, is back on tour as audiences join 16-year-old Tracy Turnblatt in the 1960s Baltimore as she set out to dance her way onto television's most popular show. The musical features the beloved score of hit songs including Welcome to the 60s, Good Morning Baltimore, and of course, You Can't Stop the Beat. Tickets can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/5CF647J8. The 2023 Broadway in the Basin season will continue with Anastasia on April 2nd and Cats on May 4th. For more information about this season's Broadway in the Basin, go to tinyurl.com/YCK54VHS. numerous camps coming up at Petroleum Museum. Midland. Students will get a chance to channel their inner meteorologist and experience the power of nature with a fun, free night from 6:30 to 8 p.m. March 30th at the Petroleum Museum. The evening's events will include the opportunity to jump into the science behind the forces of the world as students learn firsthand from meteorologists of the National Weather Service and witness the wonder of tornadoes, experiment with the power of air pressure, and much more. That will be just one of the many things that will be going on at the Petroleum Museum. Summer Science Camp registration will be opening up to members on March 20th and non-members on March 22nd. Throughout the month of March, numerous different camps will be going on, including a STEAM break, Lego Comics Spring Break Camp from March 13th through 17th. STEAM Sprouts will take place on March 20th and 27th, and Building Bots grades 3 through 6 will take place on March 21st. For more information about education programs and what's going on at the Petroleum Museum, visit the museum's website at tinyurl.com/s4tzdu4b. Art Crawl to return today in Midland. Midland. The Midland Art Crawl returns this week for another edition. The event, which is put on by Midland AF, will feature different works from various artists in the area at different locations around the Tall City. The event takes place from 6 to 9 p.m. today. The inaugural event took place last year and has since taken place quarterly. 7 venues featuring over 30 artists will join together for the evening, celebrating the local art community and local businesses in Midland. The art crawl will take place at the Blue Door, the Fafa Gallery, Eccentric Brewing Company, Hand Cafe, Velvet Mesquite, the Texas Sun Winery, and Rusty Taco. Exhibit highlights findings in the American West. Lubbock. Each year, during the fall semester, students in the land arts of the American West at Texas Tech University go on a 2-month exploration and document what they find. Their findings are then turned into a series of artistic exhibits that are then displayed at the Museum of Texas Tech. This past fall semester's pieces are currently up in the, quote, Land Arts of the American West 2022, end quote, exhibition. The opening reception took place on February 17th, and the exhibit is on display through April 23rd. Director of Land of the Arts of the American West at Texas Tech and Associate Professor Chris Taylor says the exhibition culminates the semester-long transdisciplinary field program. The program is based at the Huckabee College of Architecture at Texas Tech University. Quote, it attracts architects, writers, and historians to spend the fall semester, doing field work, end quote, Taylor said. The students camp for about 50 days, traveling about 6,000 miles, and look at a wide range of things that people have made in the land over time. Quote, we look at geology, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, we look at nature, we look at industry and art and that full spectrum, and the participants translate that experience. We're camping and living on the ground, we're developing an intimate relationship with the land, and the participants are making their own work as we travel, end quote. That work takes many forms. Each participant shapes their body of work as they see fit with the questions that are driving it. As a result, painters will sometimes paint, and architects will write. Quote, because of the diversity of sites that we visit, it's really important that the people are as diverse as possible, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, that creates a lot of cross-collaborations. Sometimes the writers will make images or the image makers will write, end quote. Some of the exhibits will include journal entries from the trip, different rocks collected to pottery. Another part of the exhibit includes different samples of soil that a student brought back. The program attracts participants from as far away as Holland, Rhode Island, and all over the world. Quote, a lot of people came to Texas Tech to participate in this program, end quote, Taylor said. To get into the program, students must go through an application process that takes place in the spring. Quote, it's a straightforward application process with letter of recommendation and examples of past works, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, there's an interview, and part of the admissions process is to assemble the most motivated and diverse group possible, end quote. This year's participants included Ty Carey, Elise Coleman, Michaela Gray, Walker Guinea, Miranda Klein, Emily Lee, Megan McKenzie, and Zoe Roden. The program started in 2002 before Taylor moved it to Texas Tech in 2009. Quote, we've been going strong ever since, end quote, Taylor said. He described the trip as, quote, a semester abroad in their own backyard, end quote, with trips all over the western portion of the country, including New Mexico, Nevada, and Arizona. Quote, we go to the American backyard in the West, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, we're in New Mexico, Utah, and Arizona, as well as West Texas. We go out for a month and then take a week break to deep clean and pause and then go back out for another month. That first trip takes us up around Utah and Nevada, and then the second trip, the days are getting shorter, so we go further south, like in southwest Texas and New Mexico, end quote. The trip is split up into parts, with the first trip taking place in September and October, and the other in November. Quote, then we're back in the studio on campus for the final part of the semester, where the work is reviewed publicly, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, it's not just a road trip. We have to process our thoughts, end quote. One of the things that keeps Taylor excited about the program is that he thinks of it as a, quote, charged stage, end quote. Quote, it's charged by our itinerary and what we see, but also how people act and perform on that stage is up to our participants, so people bring their own questions to it, end quote, Taylor said. Quote, they also evolve as people's appreciation of the value and legacies of the land becomes more central in the fields of architecture. Every year I can't predict what'll happen. That's up to our students. One of the things that's great about the museum here is they're always accommodating of the things that students do, end quote. For more information about the exhibit and Museum of Texas Tech University, go to tinyurl.com/yu499jhn. Midland Festival Ballet to host RDA Southwest Festival. For the first time in its history, the Midland Festival Ballet will be getting the honor of hosting the Regional Dance America Southwest Festival. For 3 days next week, about 400 dancers, along with 200 teachers, musicians, and choreographers, will be in the Tall City as the Wagner Noel and Bush Convention Center will be hosting the multi-day event. The festival performances will take place at the Wagner Noel, beginning at 7:30 p.m. March 9th and wrapping up on March 11th. During the day, classes and workshops will take place at the Bush Convention Center. Regional Dance America is a nonprofit national organization that's dedicated to increasing the accessibility of dance in America and increasing the quality of dance, both from an education standpoint as well as a performance standpoint. Quote, Midland Festival Ballet has been a participating company member since 2000, end quote, Midland Festival Ballet Communications Director Pearl Wamsley said. Quote, thanks to our beautiful facilities and the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center and the Bush Convention Center, this is the first time that we're able to host it. These facilities will help accommodate the number of participants, end quote. The roughly 600 participants will be coming in from Texas, New Mexico, Louisiana, and Arkansas. The participants come from 18 total dance companies across those four states, including Midland Festival Ballet. Dancers will be performing new works of various dance styles each night at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. For Midland Festival Ballet, the event is beneficial on numerous different levels. Quote, getting to see all the different pieces every night is always really fun, end quote, Wamsley said. Quote, you learn a lot and you get to see a lot. It's a lot for 3 days. Being a part of RDA has contributed heavily to the girls in development at Center in Midland. Midland Festival Ballet. We're excited that we can share our local resources with our fellow company members. That's exciting, end quote. On March 9th will be the Emerging Concert, which is comprised entirely of never-before-seen dances created by up-and-coming choreographers. The March 9th concert will be accompanied by the Americana band Angel and the Badmen. At 7:30 p.m. March 10th will be the Showcase Concert, and the finale will be the Gala Concert at 7:30 p.m. March 11th. The Gala Concert is comprised of this year's quote, standout, end quote, dances, which is based on the factors of great execution, beautiful artistry, or brilliant choreography. Quote, we're excited to show our local audiences that for the last 20 years, our company has been traveling to go to this competition, end quote, Wamsley said. Quote, we've had to travel and go elsewhere for it, so this year they get to see what we go do every year, end quote. This year's gala concert will be accompanied by the West Texas Symphony. Quote, that's big on a lot of different levels, end quote, Wamsley said. Quote, we get to work with the West Texas Symphony quite a bit. It's a great partnership for the past 30 years, end quote. RDA festivals do not typically have a live music element. Some of that is because of the logistics. Quote, you have different out-of-town companies coming in, end quote, Wamsley said. Quote, you don't have a lot of rehearsal time. You have minutes. It's not like a normal show. That's stressful for the dancers and musicians. You don't get a lot of time together, end quote. However, after getting together with the West Texas Symphony, a plan has been mapped out to make it work. Quote, we asked the West Texas Symphony if we could make it work for one evening, provided they fit a certain number of musicians and public domain music and a piece of the that the symphony can learn in a short timeline? And they said yes, end quote, Wamsley said. Quote, we've had to juggle a few new variables as far as festival timelines go, but we think it's going to work. I don't know how many of the companies get to perform with the live music. Live orchestra always makes dancing so much more special. It adds a bit to the energy. We're very happy about this, end quote. West Texas Symphony Executive Director Ethan Wills also spoke about the excitement of next week's collaboration. Quote, for us and for the ballet, this has been an interesting, innovative approach to getting live music with ballet companies, end quote, Wills said. Quote, the Midland Festival Ballet is very passionate about education. We here at the West Texas Symphony are also passionate about education, so this provides a lot of students from around the Southwest the opportunity to perform with live orchestra. They may never get that opportunity again. We're gracious for our founders out there who know what we provide and encourage us to keep providing live music, and we're committed to that, end quote. For more information about next week's festival, visit the Midland Festival Ballet Company's website at tinyurl.com/5n78k3b9. Famous jazz musician to join West Texas Symphony for Pops and Family Series. Midland. This week, one of the most famous jazz musicians in the country will be performing alongside the West Texas Symphony. World-renowned jazz saxophonist Brad Lely will be featured at this week's edition of Pops and Family Series Concert, which starts at 7:30 p.m. March 4th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tickets can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/25CVC3H5. Quote, we're so excited to have Brad with us here with our orchestra, end quote, West Texas Symphony Executive Director Ethan Wills said. Quote, a lot of the jazz musicians that are really good are really busy working a bunch. We're really excited that we can get him here and work with our orchestra. It's a new thing for him and for us to try and do, end quote. With a unique style and sound which echoes influences of his past, Lely is one of the most notable jazz musicians today. Saturday's concert will mark his live debut orchestral performance. Quote, I know Brad has come to Midland and Odessa in the past, but we've never had him with the orchestra before, end quote, Will said. Quote, in fact, this concert is the first time he's performing live with an orchestra. He's done a recorded thing before, but he's never done a live concert in this way before, end quote. It's safe to say the saxophonist has had an impressive career, touring and recording with so many jazz greats. That includes several years performing with the Harry Connick Jr. Orchestra and with the Count Basie Orchestra. He's performed around the globe with music icons such as Stevie Wonder, Kid Rock, Beyoncé, Billy Joel, Vanessa Williams, and many more. Lely was a standing member of the Kennedy Center's Honor Band and performed for Barack Obama's inaugural celebration. Currently, Lely is a professor of jazz saxophone at the University of North Texas, which is considered to be one of the most prolific jazz programs in the country. When not teaching, he continues with his successful solo career, which includes a few music albums. Getting the opportunity to have Lely perform in West Texas is something the symphony isn't taking for granted. Quote, that whole ordeal has been exciting for us, end quote, Will said. Quote, I know that Brad is an amazing musician, so my concern was never that we would have a good show. I knew it would always be a great show. The concern was all the logistics behind the scene, end quote. Will says that includes a lot of time going through the details of the collaboration of this performance between the symphony and Lely. Quote, we're planning on building a big book and being flexible on how we plan and schedule for things to create a really great show, end quote, Will said. Quote, we've been working for those things for months to blend these two genres in a unique way. I know a lot of great orchestras have utilized jazz artists, but they come prepackaged, so they're pretty easy to program. For this one, to develop a new program that's really honoring him as a pure jazz musician, but honoring our orchestra musicians to make sure they sound good too, has been a really fun and exciting challenge, end quote. Also joining along on Saturday will be Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Carla Helmbricht. Quote, we actually have a vocalist performing on Saturday, on one of the tunes at least, end quote, Will said. Quote, I hope people come out because this music is going to feature a lot of jazz standards, and that's important. A lot of pop tunes are redone in the jazz genre, but this is pure jazz standard. If you enjoy listening to any type of jazz, this concert is something that you're going to want to come to, end quote. The month of March will mark the beginning of a busy stretch of the season for the West Texas Symphony. Following this week's concert, the West Texas Symphony will be working in collaboration with the Midland Festival Ballet's Regional Dance America Southwest Festival next week. Later this month, the WTS will be holding a special concert in Odessa for, quote, Downtown Classics, end quote, at 7:30 p.m. March 24th at Ector Theater. Quote, we're very excited and nervous. In the month of March alone, we're doing three big performances, end quote, Will said. Quote, that's important. We do at least 17 events every year, but we do 8 main stage concerts, at least in a season. These next 3 are 3 big ones, end quote. Abbott reappoints Brescia Murray. Austin. Governor Greg Abbott has reappointed Bob Brescia, Ed D., and Scott Murray, Ed D., to the State Board for Educator Certification for terms set to expire on February 1, 2029. The board develops certification and continuing education requirements and standards of conduct for public school teachers. Brescia of Odessa is a teacher of record for Ector County Independent School District and an adjunct professor at Wilmington University. He previously served as the executive director for the John Ben Shepherd Public Leadership Institute and as the head of school for St. Joseph Academy in Brownsville. He is a board member at Constituting America in Dallas, the Odessa Information and Discussion Group, and an advisory board member for Odessa's Southwest Heritage Credit Union. Brescia is the former chairman of Basin PBS Television and the American Red Cross of the Permian Basin, and the former president of Rotary International, Greater Odessa. He is also a monthly columnist for the American Society for Public Administration in Washington, D.C. Brescia has 27 years of military service as a highly decorated Airborne Ranger, cavalry soldier, non-commissioned officer, and commissioned officer in the United States Army. He received a Bachelor of Arts summa cum laude in civil government from Norwich University, a Master of Science in Computer Information Systems, and a Master of Arts in International Relations from Boston University, European Division, and a Doctor of Education in Executive Leadership with distinction from George Washington University. Murray of Odessa is the superintendent for ECISD. He previously served as the superintendent of schools for Spring Branch ISD, deputy superintendent of academics for Fulton County Schools in Atlanta, Georgia, and as chief information and accountability officer for Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools in Charlotte, North Carolina. He is a member of Chiefs for Change, the American Association of School Administrators, the Urban School Administrators Association, the Texas School Alliance Board of Directors, the Ed-Phi Leadership Council, and the Consortium for School Network Superintendents Advisory Council. Murray is also a member of the Texas Broadband Office Board of Advisors, Odessa Chamber of Commerce, Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, and Executive Board Member of the Ector County Education Foundation. Additionally, he is a former Executive Board Member of Good Reason Houston, former Board Member of Junior Achievement of Houston, and former member of the Greater Houston Partnership Education Committee. Murray received a Bachelor of Arts in Intermediate Education and Middle School Education from Wake Forest University, a Master of Public School Administration from Stetson University, and a Doctor of Education in Educational Leadership from Wingate University. These appointments are subject to Senate confirmation. Frost Bank receives number of Greenwich Excellence and Best Brand Awards. Frost Bank, one of the largest banks based in Texas, received 33 Greenwich Excellence and Best Brand Awards, the highest amount received nationwide for the 7th consecutive year, for providing superior service, advice, and performance to small business and middle market banking clients, a press release detailed. As in previous years, Frost was the only Texas-based bank to receive national recognition for, quote, overall satisfaction, end quote, and, quote, likelihood to recommend, end quote, in both the middle market and small business banking categories. This is the 18th consecutive year that Frost has been recognized by Coalition Greenwich, the leading research-based consulting firm serving the financial services industry. The 33 awards Frost received were nearly evenly split between the middle market segment, 16, and the small business segment, 17. Quote, I am grateful to the business leaders who took the time to recognize Frost bankers' hard work at such a high level for so many years, end quote. Frost Chairman and CEO Phil Green said in the press release. Quote, our team works every day to make people's lives better, and that focus helps make us and our customers more successful, end quote. Death notices. Vicente Jesus Flores, Midland. Vicente Jesus Flores, 69, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 25th, 2023, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 o'clock p.m. March 3, 2023 at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Burial follows at American Heritage Cemetery in Midland County. Father Joe Euchre is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Hector Contreras Montoya, Odessa. Hector Contreras Montoya, 57, of Odessa, died Monday, February 27, 2023, in Odessa. Chapel service is scheduled for 5 o'clock p.m. Friday, March 3, 2023, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Reverend Richard Lopez is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Texas plans largest property tax decrease ever. Robert T. Garrett, Dallas Morning News. Austin, the Texas House will diverge from the Senate and pass a sweeping property tax relief package this session that includes tighter appraisal caps that apply to all kinds of property, not just homes, Speaker Dade Phelan said Thursday. House Bill 2 by Dallas Republican Rep. Morgan Meyer also would slash rates on schools' main property levy, delivering a $461 tax break next year for the owner of a $350,000 home, and $590 in fiscal 2025, Phelan said. But the House is going to focus on property tax relief in a new way, the likes of which we haven't seen in many, many decades, he said at a policy summit sponsored by the conservative think tank, the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Under an amendment to the Texas Constitution, voters approved in 1997, the appraisal for a home declared as a homestead may not increase more than 10% a year. Phelan said spiraling real estate values make notice of new appraisals traumatic. You get your appraisal, you hold your breath and open it. It's like getting a letter from the IRS. This is not good news, he said. So you hold your breath, you open it, you see the increase. It takes your breath away. Meyer's House Joint Resolution 1, also filed Thursday, would ask voters if they want to lower the appraisal growth cap to 5% and make it apply to commercial as well as all residential property. The appraisal cap applies to school property taxes. It's not right. It's not Texan, Phelan, Republican from Beaumont, said of appraisal creep. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, though, said actions the legislature took 4 years ago already are limiting how much revenue that school districts, cities, and counties may derive from property taxes. Lowering appraisal caps now will destroy everything we just accomplished by pressuring taxing jurisdictions to offset the constrained appraisals with higher tax rates. Other views on appraisal caps. Dale Kramer, president of the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association, which does tax research from a business perspective, said almost all categories of business, except for apartment owners, would oppose the House's plan to tighten appraisal caps, even though Phelan said his chamber would apply them to commercial property. Most businesses have a lot of personal property, such as equipment and computers, that depreciates instead of appreciates, so their appraisals increase more slowly than residential property does, he said. Appraisal caps don't restrict the amount of revenue a jurisdiction can raise, said Kramer, who was a budget director in the governor's office for both Democrat Ann Richards and Republican George W. Bush. They simply rearrange who they're going to raise it from. A Democratic leader and a progressive tax analyst also voiced skepticism about the House's appraisal caps proposal. House Democratic Caucus Chairman Trey Martinez Fisher of San Antonio accused Republicans of neglecting public schools' needs, such as improving retention of teachers and fixating on property tax cuts. Noting Phelan had placed a $17 billion price tag on the House's tax relief plan and that the state this year is awash in money, Martinez Fisher said the House GOP plan would disproportionately benefit corporations while we have yet to give a dollar to kids in school. Dick Levine of the progressive think tank Every Texan said that while he hasn't seen studies of who benefits and who loses from a 5% appraisal cap, the current 10% limit confers more than half of the savings on families that make $166,508 or more a year. This very disproportionately favors the highest income families, he said. House Republican Caucus Chairman Craig Goldman of Fort Worth declined to respond to Martinez Fisher, nor did spokeswoman for Phelan Ann Meyer respond to request for comment. Homestead exemptions. On Thursday, Patrick and Phelan also tussled publicly over the merits of raising homestead exemptions from school property taxes. In 2015 and 2019, lawmakers placed on the ballot constitutional amendments to increase the exemption. Both times, voters approved. Since November, Patrick has been calling for increasing the homestead exemption to $70,000 from the current $40,000. Before the Texas Public Policy Foundation crowd, he continued to advocate for that. On Wednesday, the entire membership of the 31-member Texas Senate co-sponsored Senate Bill 3 and Senate Joint Resolution 3, which would increase homestead exemptions, FBY, $30,000, he noted. In January, Chief Appraiser Ken Nolan of the Dallas Central Appraisal District said that the additional $30,000 of exemption proposed by the Senate would shave an additional $355 a year from the tax bill of almost all homes in the Dallas School District. School district property taxes usually make up the majority of a Texas homeowner's tax bill. In Dallas ISD, the tax rate is $1.18 per $100 of assessed value. While not shutting the door to a discussion of another increase in the homestead exemption, Phelan said the approach has limitations. At a fixed value, with rising increases in appraisals, it will be stagnant, eventually go away, Phelan said of the Senate's proposed 75% increase in the homestead exemption size. We can talk about homestead exemptions all day long, and that's great, but what does it do for the small business? What does that do for the first-generation small business? I have constituents who don't even own a home. They pour it all back into their businesses because they want the next generation to move up. Taking a different approach, tightening down the current appraisal cap and applying it to businesses, farms, and second homes, as well as homesteads, would be more meaningful, Phelan argued. But the Texas Association of Realtors opposed tightening appraisal caps and applying them to commercial property. In the group's legislative priorities document, said caps shift the property tax burden of higher-valued properties to middle-class homes, which typically do not appreciate in value as much as higher-priced homes. As a senator in 2007, Patrick proposed reducing the appraisal cap to 3%. That was several rounds of property tax policy discussions ago, though. School tax rates. On Wednesday, Houston GOP Senator Paul Bettencourt author of SB3 and SJR3, said the statewide average for the school district tax rates was about $1.14 per $100 of assessed value. That includes not just maintenance and operation taxes, but others, such as interest and sinking taxes, that pay off school building construction bonds. Phelan said that Meyer's bill, in addition to the 10-cent reduction in M&O rates, assumed in both chambers' introductory budgets filed last month, would add another 15-cent reduction. The total rate cut in the House plan would be 25 cents per $100 of assessed value, Phelan said. That would take the average MNO rate statewide from an average of 94.5 cents per $100 of assessed value in the 2022 tax year to under 70 cents, according to data compiled by Comptroller Glenn Hagar. Phelan says the House's proposed cuts will bring the overall property tax relief to well over $17 billion, the largest property tax cut in the history of the state of Texas, without argument. You cannot say that's not the largest property tax decrease in the history of the state of Texas. It would be at least the largest in 17 years, experts agree. In 2006, under orders from the Texas Supreme Court to repair the school finance system, the legislature used state funds to buy down M&O tax rates by one-third. At the time, doing that cost $14 billion in state dollars every 2 years, which, if adjusted for inflation, represents $20 billion per cycle, says Eva Luna de Luna Castro, a state budget expert formerly with the progressive think tank Every Texan. This year, lawmakers have as much as $69 billion in new money to spend as they write the next two-year budget. In their base budgets, filed last month, both the House and Senate set aside $15 billion for property tax relief. Of that, $5.3 billion will be spent just to maintain the relief lawmakers passed in 2019.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I will be reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, February 25th. Letters to the Editor. Dogs Rescue R Us says thank you. Dog Rescue R Us, DRRU, would like to thank the Midland-Odessa communities for supporting our first Golden Tail Casino Night fundraiser in January. It was a royal flush, to say the least. Everyone had a wonderful time, and the feedback was grand. We are so excited to host our event next year and are already planning some amazing new things. In short, we would like to personally thank Standard Safety and Supply, Lisa Strickland with Copeland Insurance, Carla Milson, Kelly Christensen, Dubose Drilling, Permian Basin Pump Down Services, Oasis Transportation and Marketing, Big Palm Logistics, Strahan Realty, Blakely Oilfield Maintenance and Construction, Henry Resources, West Texas National Bank, Mr. Kevin Hulsey and Dr. Meredith Hulsey, Boyd and Terry Cowan, Chris and Julie Garrett, Mr. Floyd and Wendy Williams, Glitz and Glitter Boutique, West Texas Orthopedics, Midland Medical, and the Bar of Midland. Dog Rescue R Us is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to decrease the homeless population of displaced animals in the community. We do this by spay-neutering, vaccinating, and transporting them to states that have laws that protect companion animals. Through adoption, animals are paired with responsible, loving owners. Through education, we hope to decrease the number of unwanted animals. To date, DRRU has saved more than 12,000 dogs in 4 years. Your help is appreciated and always needed. Samantha Hill. Online, www.drru.org.
Moderate tricuspid regurgitation. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 72-year-old woman who has tricuspid regurgitation that is mild to moderate. What does mild to moderate mean? Does it mean that it is in between mild and moderate? Is it possible for this to stay the same, or is it going to get more severe? Answer: the four valves of the heart normally last more than a lifetime. Sometimes a person gets an echocardiogram to look for the cause of a heart murmur or for some other reason, and they are found to have mild valve abnormalities, such as a leaking valve. Quote, regurgitation, end quote, and, quote, insufficiency, end quote, mean leaking, whereas, quote, stenosis, end quote, means the valve is too tight. In most cases, these never become problems. A person with mild regurgitation of the tricuspid valve in an otherwise normal heart does not need any intervention or further testing unless they develop symptoms. A person with moderate regurgitation should probably have a follow-up echocardiogram in 1 to 2 years to make sure the valve is not getting worse. When the echocardiogram report reads, quote, mild to moderate, end quote, they are unable to characterize the degree of regurgitation perfectly. And it's probably prudent to get another echocardiogram just to be sure. My experience is that the tricuspid valve rarely causes problems by itself, but can sometimes get leaky if the heart is enlarged overall, such as in someone with longstanding high blood pressure or with heart failure. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Dear Abby, I live with my longtime boyfriend, George, and his 88-year-old father, Frank. Frank is not your average 88-year-old. He does almost everything anyone in their 60s would do. However, he's used to us having dinner for him at the same time every night because he's very regimented about everything. Frank gets everything taken care of and never has to worry about a thing. He pretty much keeps to himself. We have a coffee machine that's easy to use, but Frank expects us to have his coffee at a specific time as well. He refuses to even try to make it himself, which means we can't sleep in even if we want to. We are retired. I hate that Frank lives with us because it has caused a lot of problems between George and me. I feel trapped. If I have a disagreement with Frank, George takes his father's side, even when he's wrong. We cannot financially have Frank in his own place, either. I own a third of our house, no mortgage. All three of us depend on our Social Security for household expenses, and Frank pays the insurance on the cars. I just feel that as much as I do for them, I should get some backup. Please let me know your thoughts. Feeling used in Florida. Dear Feeling Used, if you haven't told George how trapped and unhappy you feel, you should. If you are the maid, cook, and laundress, perhaps it's time he assumed responsibility for his father. Suggest he invest in an automatic coffee maker that can be set for a specific time, the night before Frank's morning coffee is expected. That way, you can sleep in if you wish. From your letter, it's clear to me that your problems with the men in your life go beyond coffee duty. If you are truly unhappy with this arrangement, which predictably won't last forever, consider consulting an attorney or a financial advisor about how to access the money you have invested in that house so you can live independently. Dear Abby, my wife and I had an excellent relationship that involved a lot of partying. After I was injured on the job, I became addicted to painkillers, which resulted in a 20-year battle with addiction. Over the years of trying unsuccessfully to get sober, I asked my wife to slow down her drinking to help me get sober. She refused, and ultimately our marriage fell apart. We decided to stay together until our kids were out of school, and wouldn't you know, no sooner did we separate than I was able to get sober. I know it wasn't her fault I was addicted. I think I'm probably better off getting divorced, but I'm still in love with her. And I'm curious if you think we should end it or give it another try. Sober Guy in Massachusetts. Dear Sober Guy, to drink or not to drink is a choice. If your wife was unwilling to sacrifice imbibing in order to help you overcome your addiction, you were right to separate from her. Congratulations on your sobriety. If you wish to maintain it, follow through with that divorce. You have my sympathy. I hope you find someone more supportive in years to come.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.